Tomorrow is the last day you can qualify for federal tax credits when buying an electric vehicle. Conservation groups blame the Republican One Big Beautiful Bill Act for the loss of tax credits. Suzanne Potter has more on the story.
The federal tax credits that could save you $7,500 on a new electric vehicle and $4,000 on a used EV expire tomorrow night. The Republican One Big Beautiful Bill Act will rescind the Biden-era program. Ingrid Malmgren with the nonprofit Plug In America says consumer tax credits for new and used EVs made them affordable for millions of Americans.
People who didn't have tax liability could take advantage of them. People who didn't want to have to finance as much of the vehicle, it not only saved them money on the price of the vehicle, but they had to finance less.
The tax credits were designed to fight climate change by creating more demand for EVs. They also created jobs at places like the Tesla Gigafactory in Storey County, which makes electric motors, energy storage products, vehicle powertrains, and EV batteries. Malmgren says the Trump administration has gone all out to boost oil company profits after the companies made huge donations to his campaign.
There's been a lot of money spent in the 2024 election cycle by oil and gas interests, and this appears to be the administration and congressional leadership's way of paying back for all of those donations and funding.
Supporters of the Republican bill say that the savings created by repealing the tax credits are needed to fund other administration priorities. Opponents counter that the loss of the tax credits will hobble the American EV industry and undermine energy security, economic growth, and innovation. For Nevada News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The nonprofit Work for Climate is helping employees push their companies to go green. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When large companies take climate action, it's often because of pressure from policymakers, lenders, or shareholders.
But for a really long time, employees have been an untapped stakeholder group in that wheel of influence that can get corporate CEOs and boards to make different decisions.
Lucy Piper is with the nonprofit Work for Climate, which aims to change that. The group runs a three-month course which teaches people how to push for climate action from within a company.
We had one engineer who was working with us, and he was able to successfully shift his very conservative engineering firm to 100% renewable energy.
Another participant worked for a cycling company and has since been pushing her industry to avoid having the fossil fuel industry sponsor events. Work for Climate began in Australia. But to expand its impact, it's now teamed up with Project Drawdown and other organizations from around the world. Together, they formed the Employee Climate Action Network and consolidated all their tools and resources into one searchable hub. So any employee anywhere can find the support they need to drive climate action at work. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, September 29th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Anna Wilcox, Dave Johnson, Corvin Vail, and Althea Billings. The producer is Dave Johnson, and our engineer is Sherry Meredith. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, Farah Siddiqui, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Dave Johnson.
And I'm Terrence Burns. All of our KBOO programs, including this, the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. On the episode of KBOO's Locus Focus that aired Monday, September 29th, host Barbara Bernstein spoke with two Portland City councilors, Olivia Clark and Mitch Green, about Trump's deployment of federal troops to Portland.
Mitch and Olivia, welcome to Locus Focus. And Mitch, welcome back for the third time, I believe it is now.
Thanks Barbara.
For having us back. Yeah.
Good to be here.
Well, I think before we start talking about the CEI Hub, which is one of the serious concerns here in Portland we need to address, I think a lot of listeners are going to be curious about your position on this other concern that Portland is a war-torn city that is dying, and people are dying here all the time and dropping dead in the streets and killing ICE officers and whatever else. And so, therefore, the federal troops have to come in. So, as city council people, I'm just interested in talking a couple minutes about your stance on this.
Sure, sure. Well, I was kept up half the night by the helicopters because I live a 10-minute walk from the ICE facility. And the military was out last night up until at least 9 o'clock, up in the air, making a lot of noise, shining lights on the bike path and so forth. So at the very least, I'm not happy about what's happening in my neighborhood.
Well, actually, why are they doing that? I mean, the troops haven't arrived yet. And yeah. There are a handful of protesters that are at the ICE facility every
right.
day, but mostly, for the most part, they're being very quiet and not bothering anybody.
Yeah, so that helicopter is a function of a show of force by these federal ICE officers or whichever. There's a whole alphabet soup of federal law enforcement style entities, and the helicopter itself, along with what's called an MRAP, which is a kind of an armored vehicle, they came into town late last week, and it's there's no tactical reason for it because there's nothing happening on the ground that would suggest we're at war. It's there to intimidate. It's there to make sure that people can't sleep. It's there to create psychic damage and all those things, and so it's pretty intolerable.
But it seems that it's being directed, it may be supposedly directed at these mythical protesters yeah. that are about to destroy the ICE facility. But in fact, it's directed at people like you,
right.
the neighbors.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We're all taking sleeping pills so we can actually sleep at night because it's really obnoxious. It's loud. It is intimidating.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's the first stage towards having the full force, whatever Trump referred to the forces that he's going to be sending.
Yeah.
It's going to be a full force operation. Well, what can the city do to stop this from actually happening?
Well, you know, obviously the federal government is very large, fully resourced, and the city is sort of subject to a supremacy clause further down the hierarchy. But we have been taking direct and swift action with the resources that we have. So yesterday, the state attorney general, Dan Rayfield, along with the help of our city attorney, filed what may be the fastest legal case in history of this magnitude. Within 6 hours, they filed an injunction, sort of a legal suit saying this is actually mm-hmm. an overstep, this is illegal. And so those are one of the tools that we have. But we are meeting every day to kind of go through the situation as it unfolds and to continue to challenge as we can.
Can I just say I really appreciate the governor and the AG and the mayor all standing up united, all of the elected officials
and
were
actually,
united.
And the county chair as well.
And the county chair.
Yeah.
Everybody was united and pulling in the same direction, which is very, very meaningful for all of us. And I applaud all of them.
Well, the other thing I think is important, both the county chair and the mayor mm-hmm. have referred to what we really like to see, the kind of resources we'd like to see come from the federal government.
Right.
Which includes restoring Medicaid funding and other things.
SNAP benefits, affordable housing, the list goes on.
One other thing that gives me a little bit of hope, well, actually, before we get to my little sliver of hope, in the case of the federal troops being imposed on LA and in Washington, D.C., there were injunctions that were filed, but they were overturned by the Supreme Court, as I recall. So I'm wondering what you think the chances are of Rayfield's suit for an injunction actually having any teeth.
Well, if past practice is any shadow of this, I doubt it's going to work, but I think we have to fight back.
I mean, but I think we do have a very clear legal case that this is illegal, and you should never sort of cede away the legal system while it's still there. Mm-hmm. I know that it's been under stress and duress, but I have confidence in our local and kind of circuit courts to look at this issue with clear eyes. And then, you know, look, if it goes to the Supreme Court and they want to do illegal things too, well, that's something that every American is going to have to kind of grapple with.
But it really brings up the rule of law. Are we a country that's the rule of law anymore? And it's just really flying in the face of that.
Well, several of my friends have commented on how they feel like this is really a broad-based issue, that this is could bring together the most extreme sections of Portland, from people who are like really strong advocates for climate justice to the Portland Business Alliance or the Portland Metro Council. And I wonder if you see that as a way of maybe unifying the city, because we've been divided around a lot of issues.
No, absolutely,
like one that we're about to talk about.
That's a great point, that you see this upswell of pride, of love in our community. We're all standing together to protect ourselves, our neighbors, taking care of our neighbors. It's been a great showing of love and support for this community.
And it's a reaffirmation that this is not a city in crisis. Yes, we have our problems, but this is a thriving and flourishing place with people who all love the city, and we all want to work to make it better.
Well, one of the things that gives me a little sliver of hope is the level of humor that's been generated by this. And the Oregonian ran a bunch of the postings that were on social media, which were very funny. But the best one I saw, actually, Ray, my engineer, emailed this to me on Saturday night, which was an article by the New Yorker satirist Andy Borowicz, and he was talking about how, so the article, the headline is that Trump's effort to send federal troops to Portland backfires. And what happens is that the troops come to Portland and they all start trading in their weapons for mandolins and zithers and start forming indie rock bands so that the city of Portland is just covered, it's just, you know, totally crowded with these indie rock bands. And Andy Borowicz interviews some Portlander who says, well, we really didn't need the federal troops, but we really don't need all these bands.
That's very Portlandia.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to kind of find some joy in all this, even though it's, you know, terrifying. I think the intended goal of this administration is to scare us into obedience, to obey in advance of things that are undemocratic and authoritarian. And, you know, that's also why, you know, I put out a statement yesterday calling on, I put my, you know, old Army uniform on, and I said, look, if you're a veteran, show out and, you know, use your voice, because that experience matters. And if you're currently serving, remember, you don't have to follow an unlawful order.
That was a great message. I thought it was super, Mitch.
I also think that there's a possibility that we have a certain amount of, there's a certain Portland spirit and our very wacky, weird energy that maybe is the way to overcome this. I mean, I do feel like there's something very special about Portland. And even though we've had a lot of issues in the last few years, and we're going to talk about a really big issue in just a moment, that there's something about Portland that maybe has another key to this puzzle that maybe the other cities that have been facing it don't quite have.
Like I said, it's very Portlandia.
Yeah. Well, actually, I saw a photograph of St. John's yesterday, and there's a big sign up there. There's the big Keep Portland Weird sign. And, to me, St. John's is like, it's the epitome of what Portland can be at its best in many ways. And it really goes back to Portland's working class roots and to its being a river city and having all kinds of cultural stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, let's just keep Portland weird. Let's keep that in our minds.
That was an excerpt from Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein. She was speaking with two Portland City Councilors, Olivia Clark and Mitch Green, about Trump's deployment of federal troops to Portland. Find Locus Focus on the KBOO website at kboo.fm/locusfocus. This is KBOO News In Depth. At the Sunday rally in Waterfront Park, a number of local leaders addressed the assembled protesters, encouraging them to speak out against the Trump administration and fascism.
Good afternoon, Oregon! My name is Willie Choatson. I'm a former teacher, public defender, and I'm proud to represent Southeast Portland in the state legislature. Let me be clear. Elected leaders and community leaders are united in pushing back peacefully using every single tool at our disposal. Trump's threats to send the military into Oregon, into our home, is unnecessary, it is unlawful, it is un-American, but it is not unexpected. This is predictable. We have the playbook. It is the authoritarian playbook, and that's why we are organized, we are connected, and we are prepared to peacefully oppose it. Look around you, look at us. This is Portland. This is Oregon. This is joy. This is peaceful resistance, resilience, diverse, creative, and rooted in compassion. We will center the voices and stand up for those most being attacked by Trump's rhetoric and his hateful actions. But let's be clear. These threats are a show of weakness, not strength. Our movement, this movement of unity, empathy, and peaceful protest is stronger. Trump is desperate to divide us, to distract us from his failing poll numbers, his disastrous policies, and the growing calls to release the Epstein files. It does not matter where you stand on the political spectrum. Fear is the tool of a tyrant. If Trump really wanted to show strength, he'd invest in our communities. So let me ask you, what should our federal tax dollars be spent on? Shout it out, be specific, let's hear some. Absolutely, damn right. That would be strength. But here's the good news. Our community is everything Trump is not. We are strong, we are unified, and we are compassionate. We will not obey in advance, and we will not give him any excuses to escalate, because we are too smart. We will show the world why Oregon is one of the greatest places to call home. We will show that public joy is an act of resistance. That caring for and protecting our neighbors is an act of resistance. And that staying calm and deliberate when others expect us and want us to be afraid is an act of resistance. I am so proud to be your neighbor and to call Oregon my home. And now let's welcome, and I have the honor of introducing Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon, Candace Williams.
What's up, community? How y'all doing right now? My name is Candace Williams. I am the Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon. I'm also a fourth generation Portlander from our historic Albina community. Today specifically to celebrate the joy and beauty and youth that is our city. This is more than just a place to live. This is a community built on kindness, on creativity, and on compassion. Our rivers, our parks, our people, and our cultural richness make us the place to visit and live. And let's be clear, we are not a war zone. We're blowing bubbles. We are a peaceful people, and we will continue to stand against this tide of authoritarianism that threatens our Portland values. Instead of sending soldiers to our streets, our national leaders should be sending them to places who are dealing with devastating national disasters that are created by climate change. Instead of trying to collapse our economy with these tariffs, they should be asking, how can they help us out with childcare? We are here today with our kids and our families and our neighbors to show the world the real Portland. This is the real Portland. This is joy. Trump, I just want to say one thing. Take your hands off our Medicaid and support our farmers and our small businesses by rethinking what you do every day and look at what real leadership looks like. That's what leadership looks like. We gather not in fear, but in hope. We hope that by speaking out, we show our kids the true meaning of what it means to be an American, to practice our free speech and to assemble peaceably. That's us, right, Michael? That's us. So stand together today, united in justice, and stay on this battlefield for justice with your flowers in your hair and your bubbles in your hand and lifting your signs up high. And as we bow to march, make sure our celebratory and peaceful voices are so loud and so joyful that they knock against the ears of those who would silence us. That they cripple the walls of separation and hate, and so loud that this president hears loud and clear, fascism has no home here. Donald Trump, in case you didn't hear us, no troops on our streets, but if they come, we would love for them to enjoy our beauty.
Well, first off, thank you everyone for being here. I am Melissa Unger, and I am the Executive Director of SEIU Local 503. I just want everyone to take a second. Look around, just look around. This is the real Oregon, right? Children playing, bubbles, people coming together peacefully to speak out against oppression. And all around us, Oregonians are enjoying what our community has to offer. That is Oregon. That's the Oregon we all live in, work in, and enjoy every day. Trump's threat to send the military into Oregon is unwanted, unlawful, and a threat to every community in our state. So what do we say to it? No. We say Oregon is home, not a military target. Oregon is home, not a military target. This is an abuse of power, a misuse of the military, and we're standing together to say what? No, not in Oregon, not anywhere. Not in Oregon, not anywhere. Not in Oregon, not anywhere. But this is the thing, there's a hopeful part. We are hearing that our calls against military intervention are working. Our voices matter. Our unity matters. And when we show up together, we make it impossible to ignore the truth that Oregon will not be intimidated. No matter our backgrounds, where we come from, our political affiliation, this is the moment to speak out. Oregon is stronger than fear. Oregon is stronger than intimidation. We know we can build something different, a future rooted in compassion, care, and community, because that is what Oregon looks like. Now, this is not the first time we've seen this administration abuse its power and overreach, and it will not be the last. So we are in a marathon, not a sprint. So we are learning from communities across this country, in DC, in LA, in Chicago, about neighborhood organizing, and we know that that is key. We know that's key to making our community safe. So I just wanna shout, just recognize that there's people here with clipboards that about gatherings that are happening in another couple weeks. So if you see someone with a clipboard, scan that QR code, make sure that you actually sign up to come back and get trained. Because if everyone can get trained, if everyone can bring five people to the next rally, that's how we make sure everyone knows that Oregon is home. It's not a military take. It's not a military target, right? Oregon is home. It's not a military target.
You've been listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Althea Billings. Thanks for being with us.
Because it's KBOO time! KBOO time! Get KBOO'd up! Get KBOO'd up! Because it's KBOO time! KBOO time!
This is Bird Note.
My name is Kelson Caldwell, and I drive a bus for King County Metro. As a bus driver, your schedule is pretty important. Sometimes you run late, and there's nothing you can do about that. I was driving a route and I kept running fast, and then I would pull over to the side of the road and I'd just be kind of like twiddling my thumbs, worrying about what my passengers are thinking. And I wanted to find something to occupy my mind. And so I started to look for birds as my pastime. I was just like, oh, wow, look at those ducks. And then, oh, look at those crows. And that was kind of this weird entry point into becoming a lot more interested in, like, why are the birds going here at this time of day? And where do they hang out? Or what makes it possible for that bird to, like, stay here during the winter?
Driving the same route each day, Kelson noticed as new birds returned with the spring migration and how crows would fly off to roost together at night. Now, no matter where Kelson is, they see birds everywhere. Once you start paying attention to birds, it's hard to stop.
Though I will, mind you, I like keep my eyes on the road, obviously. Major part of my job.
For Bird Note, I'm Ashley Ahern.
Thank you. listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for variations on the theme of folk music during KBOO's Folk Strip. Each morning brings you a different DJ.